all for your perseverance in tonight's activities. To some of the young men, this may be repetitive, but the Lord is moving me to be a part of the work here in Tulsa. I'll be involved to some degree with the church here, trying to help support it in ways that I can, and the ministry that we call One Hope. The organization that One Hope is a part of was started nearly 20 years ago in Shreveport. And it was initially started to help support preachers and especially young preachers and missionaries that that didn't have a lot of support. The second part of it is that we began to train interns, like summer interns that you have here. And then thirdly, it was set up to find jobs for inner city kids. And we had a plan and how to do that. And the financial support for the job network, just we just never could get it there. We had, interest, but it didn't develop the way we wanted to. So our ministry began to move into the neighborhood among the gangs, and we had developed a Bible study for them. Monday night opened our gym at the church. So that's what One Hope became, and then the training of the interns led to some young men wanting to preach, and so we developed a preacher school, kind of a prep school for young preachers, and now guys that we had trained serve. Some teach in seminary now, some are missionaries in places around the world, some are missionaries in California, and others are pastors or staff members in churches spread across several states. And that is really primarily how God has used me. And many years ago, I'll say 30 years ago, before I married a girl from Tulsa and was called away to other places to serve, God gave me a promise and put on my heart that I would be a part of a work that he was doing here in Tulsa. And I never did know exactly how that was going to work out. Just so you know a little bit, during the years I had an opportunity to come pastor a church in South Tulsa, and God wasn't in it. I had an opportunity to pastor the First Baptist Church of Tulsa one time, and it wasn't the right thing. It would have been a train wreck, me and cultural Christianity in the middle of Tulsa, and God wasn't in it. There was a time we were training one of our preacher guys, Andrew Moss, and I thought, well, maybe, we'll take Andrew and he and I'll go to Tulsa. And about that time, God led Joe to move to Tulsa, and so we sent Andrew up here with him. And so One Hope began to embrace the ministries along with this church here that you all are involved in, that you know about. The differences in the two churches. In Shreveport, the ministry of One Hope, the church began to embrace it and take on the preacher school, the inner city ministries, and were able to provide the funding for it to some degree. Here in Tulsa, the ministry is growing at such a rate, and the needs are so great, especially when you're reaching to the needy people, that the church here doesn't seem to have the funding that it's going to need to take it to keep moving along. Now, God can provide anything and doesn't need any particular person. So what One Hope has tried to do, what we've become, is a place where we want to train preachers, where we want to train interns how to love people in the inner city, and then how to teach kids to hope. So it's, our kind of my little catchphrase is we train interns to love and we teach kids to hope. And so the third part is what I'm going to be a part of, which is touching other people to try to help them to serve, find a way to serve, to raise awareness and support for the ministries that are here. Our church in Shreveport began to be better or stronger at training preachers and we were involved in training preachers and working in the neighborhood ministry. And we've got a growing, stronger neighborhood ministry where we tutor and do a lot of things that you all do here. But this church is is more involved in the ministries of the inner city than we are, and God is mushrooming it. You do some training of preachers through Joe, but probably not as organized as we are. And so the thought process, as God led us, was, well, let's unite the two, take the strengths of training preachers, take the strengths of the inner city ministry that you have, and let's train preachers and interns in how to do hands-on ministry with urban ministries, inner city kids. Joe is the best trainer of guys that I know of, and so I wanted to be a part of that and wanted to move our preacher school up here. He's 10 years younger than I am, and so I tell everybody he should have a longer shelf life than I do. And so part of my reason of moving up here is to get the ministry, help it get established, and that Joe would maybe have a longer term, maybe to time to help keep it going in that kind of leadership. Okay, quickly, how it happened in my life. It's always felt like God was, wanted me to be back in Tulsa at some point. But I was very happy where I was, involved in the church there. I was preaching through the Gospel of Mark. We came to the place where Jesus summoned his disciples. The summons is an order to come and appear. And I challenged all of our people to get away with God and find out what God was calling them to do. And so I did that myself. And God told me not in a loud voice or an audible voice, but through the Word of God, you find the will of God and the Word of God, that what I needed to do is get back involved in training preachers. That's what I love doing. It's what I'd been doing. But in the last few years, I'd kind of passed that along to some of our younger guys and wasn't directly involved in it itself. And it's not so much the training of it. The way that God has used me has been in the recruiting of the preachers. Now, I don't call a person to preach. God does. But I can kind of spot them, and I have a sense of, hey, this is God's working in his life, and inviting them to come be an intern if they work out as an intern, maybe into preacher school, and if God calls them, that we'll train them. And so God was saying to me, hey, you need to get back in and really get involved in that, and whether it was at Shreveport here or whatever. As I continued to preach, we came to the place where the woman, before Jesus' death, took her perfume, the very extravagant gift of just pouring it on the Lord, and people saying, "Hey, that was a waste," but it was her gift to Christ, and because of her love for Him. I asked the people, "What would extravagant love look like in your life? What would it be for you to give something to God that?" Other people might say was extravagant, something you didn't have to do. And so again, I asked that of myself, and the Lord asked it of me. And the one thing that I had to give, first of all, was my life, and just give it all to Him again. I have four times in my life, I've left everything, all security, earthly security and everything, and just said, "Lord, I'm going to take a step, not stupid step, but a step of obedience to you and see what's next." As my wife said, that was a little easier when we were 28 than it is at our age, which is we're quite up there. She's not that old, but I asked myself, would I really do that again? Would I leave a church that's going to let me preach there until I die and would take care of my family and leave that income and do all that and step out and be a quote, a missionary of faith? And I told the Lord I would. And the second thing that I had to give to Him, the only thing I had of worth, was the church there in Shreveport. And that was, I love those people, and I love preaching to them. And the joy that I had in my life, the value I had in my life, was every week studying and hearing from God what needed to be said to them. It wasn't the act of preaching. It was that study time of knowing, thinking about them, where their hearts were, what it was, and what God was saying to them. And so I gave that to the Lord, and He took it. And He said, that's fine. I'm going to send a new pastor here. Short of it is, they called it Derek Cox, who is a guy that we had trained and had served in our staff. And he's back there pastoring them. And so at that point, I had to ask, okay, well, what am I going to do, God? I mean, you know, if I'm really not qualified to do anything except, you know, I mean, not qualified, but I can preach. The next thing is greeting at Walmart or working at Quick Trip or something. And you know, and I'm going to still make a living. And so I told the Lord I would do that. And through that process came what I said earlier, is that the idea that what I really believe that God, through the Word of God, led me, that we need to try to take One Hope to the next level that God has for it in order to help the church, Springs of Grace, Tulsa, to become a leadership training center. That's what I call the preacher prep school, but it would be a place where we take interns and preachers. They don't have to be guys. They can be girls wanting to be missionaries. Or just giving their life to inner city ministry somewhat, but that would become a leadership training center that would unite it, be trained interns on how to do inner city ministry, and that we would do that in a way that would replicate itself to reproduce itself somewhere else. And so the preachers that we would train would be specifically trained to go do the same kind of work in either a university center or an urban center. Why a university center? Because we want to recruit more interns and more preachers and prospects. Why inner city? Because that's where Jesus is, what he's working in, that's where he goes to. So the idea is that we intentionally recruit the best and the brightest to intentionally target the least and the lowest, because that's what God does. And so that's what we're going to be a part of. That's what we're trying to do. We want to develop a place to have the preacher school, a place to help serve the ministry needs for One Hope in terms of space for its sports clinics, its tutoring, its existing school, and then the hope of an elite prep academy to come. And then a place that I could work out of in terms of trying to do Bible studies and awareness and things to try to help the ministry of One Hope. And so through that, the Lord has led us to give us an opportunity that we've actually signed a contract on the Rose Bowl, which is the old bowling alley here on 11th Street, right there, right across McClure Park. And because the park's there, that could also help us do sports clinics. The space is there where we can do some renovation with it. And so, you know, we would like your prayers for that, because we don't want to be there unless the Lord wants us there. But He's definitely led me to pursue this. And we're now in a place where, with the bank, they're wanting us to come up with some more cash that we don't have, and really don't want to try to go raise, because we're already trying to raise money for the fall programs here and the coming year, and would like to not have to do that, because the whole idea is not to compete, but to provide the space that we need for our ministries. And so, you know, we're supposed to hear back Monday from the bank on where we are on that and whether that's still going to be able to proceed in the way that it is. But so I'm going to be up here since all that time, when didn't know this at the time, before I finally stepped out. In fact, I didn't even know this until we actually called a preacher what I was going to, a new pastor at the church, what I was going to be doing. The opportunity came for us to perhaps get the Rose Bowl, which I can work out of. And then our other brother, who's the coach at the University of Tulsa, has allowed me to be a volunteer on the coaching staff. And so I'm now around with college students, and not only going to be around football players, but the college students there at TU. And I've already begun to meet guys that are potential interns, big brother mentors for some of the ministries that we have. I've had one guy today volunteer to come be a part of what we're doing. And so I just think it's a God thing that, you know, I mean, of course I love being around the sports part of it, but it's just a God thing that the one thing I was wanting to do was get into a university and a college to try to recruit interns, and the Lord's allowed us to do that. So that's kind of the plans and the big picture. There's more specifics to all that, but I'm here on faith, and so I'm trusting God for a job and income and all that other stuff that goes with that. to make a living, if it's Walmart, then that's what I'll do to keep going. But the main thing is that we just believe that there's something that God wants to do through what we call One Hope. It doesn't replace the church. It doesn't change that. But what is being done here, the vision for the school that you'll probably hear about later and that you already know about and are praying for our kids, even the things that we were talking about against violence against women and things that could be done out of that center and some of the ministries. But my particular part that I'll be working on is, see, I have a goal and a vision, a dream of taking these young men and training them and then being able to somehow come up with the funds to help a church send them out and support them so that they go into a university urban center. And so I'll be working on that part of it as well as trying to find some people who would come and support or serve, actually be a part of the ministry here at this church or the One Hope connection that's there. So that's what I'll be doing, and appreciate your prayers. Okay.